won't he? That's the question at this hour. Hey, America, how are you? It is I, Brad Friedman. Yes, once again, your friendly citizen, investigative blogger, troublemaker, muckraker, journalist, all-around swell fellow, once again drafted into duty as your broadcast media, and delighted to be back here. Mike and Kathy are off for a bit. Spring break for them, but not for me. Glad you're here. We'll be broadcasting all night tonight from the left coast, from the beautiful studios of K-Talk AM 1150 out here in Los Angeles. Where it is, by the way, a beautiful day. I hate to rub it in to you folks on the East Coast. I think you got some snow. Anyway, we're here all night long for three big hours. So hope you can stay with us and all next week as well. As I say, the Malloys are off on a well-deserved spring break. If you were wondering why over Christmas they took like no time off, it's because they were planning for spring. Smart. So in the meantime, you got me. But, we'll try to make it worth your time. Big show tonight, as I say. Man, what I can't believe is it's the first day of the month already. April is here. Unbelievable. It seems like yesterday, Tony, we were here, but it was early February. So it was sort of, it wasn't long ago. Anyway, a couple months ago. But man, I go away for 2 seconds, or in this case, 2 months. I go away for 2 months. And all hell breaks loose. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Between, when we were here, at the end of the week, I was here in February, I think it was, Thursday or Friday of that week, there were some folks who were gathering in Wisconsin for something, a protest about something or other. And by that weekend, and then by the beginning of the next week, when I was not on the air, all hell had broken loose in Wisconsin. Huge story. I love this story. I'm so proud of the people in Wisconsin and have been so eager to come and talk about it on the air with you, fine people, coast to coast and around the globe on the Mike Malloy Show. And then before I had the chance to get back, an earthquake strikes Japan. Oh, a record 9.0 earthquake strikes Japan, and I have been for the last 3 weeks pretty much on Fukushima duty. If you've been following bradblog.com, I'm now on Japan time. I seem to go to bed around 4 or 5 a.m. Because I've been following this. The last couple of days, things have stabilized, and I use that word with caution. Things have stabilized a little bit, but there is news there. And then, oh yeah, a new war breaks out. So, like I say, I go away for 2 minutes and all hell breaks loose. So we got a lot to talk about in those regards. Oh, coming up tonight, one of my guests, one who I think will show up. The other one we're still finding out. Get to that in a second. But the one who I'm pretty sure is going to show up, Ian Murphy. You may know him better as David Koch, or at least Scott Walker out there in Wisconsin certainly knows him better as David Koch. Yes, that's right. The editor of Buffalo Beast, Ian Murphy, who pranked, who punked, who scammed Scott Walker of governor of Wisconsin a couple of months back. He will be joining us tonight. Hopefully not punking us, but you never know with this guy, because he's also running for Congress in New York now on the Green Party ticket. And that is no joke. So we're going to be talking to him. I said, will he or won't he? Because I have been dealing with, I want to be nice. Okay, well, before I get to that, before I try to be nice, let me remind you, the chat room is open, as it always is whenever I'm sitting in for the Malloys, over at bradblog.com. We use a different chat room than he normally does. So come on by to bradblog.com, go to the first item, you click through it, and you'll find it. If you're not smart enough to figure that out, we don't want you in the chat room anyway. But we'd love to have you there. For Earth and Dez are moderating again as usual today, and they turn into great big rollicking parties. So, hey, truth seekers, wherever you may be, please reconnoiter over at bradblog.com today. And of course, next week, where we will have chat rooms every night whenever we guest host the program. Also, if you want to speak with us here on the program, 877-520-1150 will be our phone number. I'll say it again, 877-520-1150. That is the phone number for us to get in onto the show. to use your public airwaves, to use them or lose them even more than you already have. But it may be maybe a bit before I get to the calls here, because we are waiting for a call, and I am loath still to give the name away. I will just say it's a U.S. congressperson, and it's a Republican U.S. congressperson, and I have all day been dealing with his very nice aides, Christopher and Catherine, very nice. And he said, oh, yes, the congressman wants to come on, and but, you know, he's afraid. Mike Malloy show, blah, blah, blah. So I have been very nice, told them that, you know, we want to give everybody a fair hearing here. But the thing with Congress people is that, unlike every other guest in the world, pretty much, you get their phone numbers and you get to call them at whatever time you plan for them to be on the air. Congress people, they're a little bit different. For whatever reason, they don't like to give out their personal numbers, or they don't know where they're going to be at any given time. You know, it's usually an aide or something who dials the phone for them. They call you. So you can't call them. They call you. So the reason I'm not yet giving the name is because, like I say, we've been going back and forth. It's not hard confirmed. They say yes. They say no. What time? We don't know. So, Dez, if Dez is waiting, if the congressman calls, we're going to go straight to him. We told him we wanted to do it right at the top of the hour here, or in this first half of the hour. So whenever he calls, we will go to him. And I don't want to give his name in case he doesn't come, because I don't want to embarrass him. I'm trying to be nice, want to be fair. And that's why we're having a Republican on. Here's what it, well, part of it has to do with, which just amazes me. I don't know if any of you saw Rachel Maddow last night. The first 15 minutes of the show, she devoted to what is going on in Maine, and where Republicans are, and this is incredible, Republicans are seeking to loosen child labor laws. I saw this story a few days ago, and I was like, oh my God, we've got to cover this on Malloy. Let's see, Ross story. Well, let me back up before I tell you what Ross story said. This story backs up to January. Mike Lee calls child labor laws unconstitutional. Mike Lee is a senator from Utah. And over on Think Progress, this was back in January. Last week, Senator Mike Lee posted a lecture on his YouTube channel where he explains in great detail his views on the Constitution. As part of the lecture, which is essentially a lengthy defense of his radical tenther interpretation of the Constitution, Lee claims that federal child labor laws are unconstitutional. Child labor laws are unconstitutional. Okay. So, but that's Mike Lee. That's Utah senator. Yes, he's a U.S. senator, but, you know, he's talking about it in theory, blah, 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 whatever. Didn't get a whole lot of attention. We just thought he was crazy. Okay. Then in Missouri, just a couple of weeks ago, this is from, shoot, where is this from? This is a Missouri paper. I want to say the St. Louis Post-Dispatch or the Riverfront Times, but Chad Garrison wrote a few days ago, State Senator Jan Cunningham has dropped her controversial bill to repeal Missouri's child labor laws. Yes, a woman in Missouri in the state Senate actually put forward a controversial bill to repeal child labor laws. The Republican from West County, St. Louis, West St. Louis County, which happens to be Chesterfield, where she's from, which is where my parents live. You're welcome, America. The Republican from West County, even appearing in a Jay Leno monologue when she proposed changes that would eliminate restrictions on both the age in which children can work in Missouri and the hours they can spend toiling each day at their jobs. For businesses that that employ children, the bill would also have done away with those pesky inspections by state's Division of Labor Standards. So this was for real, and Cunningham's office provided little explanation as to why it finally decided to end its pursuit of the legislation. The bill is dead. It's no longer an issue, a spokesman for the senator told Missouri media on Monday. Okay. So that was dead. Then there's Maine. And this is where Rachel Maddow comes in. Yesterday, if you saw her show, 15 minutes, top of the show, she covers what's going on in Maine. State legislators in Maine. Republican lawmakers are pushing a bill. This is Raw Story's version of it. Republican lawmakers are pushing a bill through the Maine legislature that would roll back child labor laws enacted by the state in 1991. Kind of surprising that they only enacted them in 91, but all right. The bill, LD 1346, establishes a training wage for employees under 20 years of age at $5.25 per hour for the first 180 days of employment and increases the amount of hours minors can legally work. The proposed training wage is over $2 less than the state's current minimum. The bill would also eliminate the maximum hours a minor can, over 16 can work during school days, and allow minors to work over 50 hours a week when school is not in session. And this bill is moving through the main Congress, through the House and the Senate there. And it's expected to pass. Republicans in both houses, Republican Paul LePage, the governor who recently removed a mural from the wall, a labor mural from the Labor Department there in Maine. Talk about your American Taliban. Anyway, this is all state government, right? They're crazy Republicans, and here's where I want to be nice. A federal congressman is now introducing a bill to do exactly this at the federal level. That federal congressman happens to be somebody who I sort of know, gotten to know a little bit. He doesn't like to speak to me on the record usually, but I've convinced him to do so tonight. Maybe. We'll see if he calls. And let's take a break in case he does call. Let's go right to a break, if we're lucky, after this break. And then if he doesn't show, well, then I will definitely say who it was, I guess. I don't know. All right. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. We will have, by the way, some other material as well, including, like I say, Ian Murphy, the fake Scott Walker, will be joining us. And then any breaking news that comes out of Fukushima. Because I'm still keeping my eyes on it. I'm still on Japan time. Oh, and then there's that war in Libya. Good Lord, people. All right, Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Stay with us. All right, welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. And, of course, because I rambled too much in that first segment, I am running late. And I also screwed something up. 2 points. One, the chat room at bradblog.com is now fixed. Refresh your page. You should be able to get in there with no problem. I had screwed something up previously there. Also, my Twitter account, if you want to touch base, is the Bradblog. Always happy to see from you during the show. On the Twitters at the Brad Blog. But otherwise, stop on by the chat room. Was wondering why I was so quiet there. Now we know at bradblog.com. Okay. As I said before the break, I was talking about these child labor laws that these Republicans are now putting forward in Maine and in Missouri, although that's been canceled. Okay. I'm going to try to be nice here. A Republican, California's 54th. District Republican Congressman, Congressman Jack Kimball, joins me here tonight to talk about a child labor bill that he is actually forwarding in the U.S. Congress. He's a third-term congressman. Prior to joining Congress, he was a businessman with over 20 years of experience in his father's multi-million-dollar industry. And, of course, since arriving in Congress in 06, Jack has joined colleagues like David Vitter, remember him, and Lee Terry as champions of family value issues. And Congressman Kimball is kind enough to join us here tonight. And we are running late. My apologies for that, Congressman. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Hello, Brad.
Thank you. I know this was a big thing today, trying to, you know, get you to come on and so forth. And your aides and Christopher was all very nice.
He's great.
He is great. But I want to let folks know I did not agree to any terms or conditions for this conversation because I don't do that.
Well, I hope we can have a civil discourse. That's the one thing I believe in.
I know you do. Hopefully it's not the only thing you believe in, but all right. And now my apologies because we're coming to the bottom of the hour. I will leave it to you if you want to stay. I know we only agreed to one segment. It will be up to you. But I want to give you a full chance to air what it is you're talking about here. Tell me about your new child labor law bill. What is this, H.R. 929, that you're talking about that you have introduced in the U.S. House?
Well, H.R. 929 is a bill to extend full employment rights to all citizens, regardless of age. The Constitution says absolutely nothing regarding age of employment. And it seems that it's a well-meaning policy. I know no one did this because they wanted to hinder the economy, but when you have programs like this or restrictions like this, there's always unintended consequences.
And so unintended consequences, you're saying, of the existing child labor laws?
Correct.
And what are the consequences of the existing child labor laws?
Well, one of the biggest problems businesses have right now is it's difficult to get employees who are willing to work for what businesses can pay them.
And so you feel – so among the things that this your legislation would allow is lowering the minimum wage for younger for young children?
Well, I mean, that's common sense. If you're a parent and you have an allowance, you're naturally going to give older children a larger allowance than you're going to give smaller children. And it's the same thing in business. If a 13 or a 14-year-old can do some skills, obviously, but can't do as much as a grown person, you're not going to pay them as much.
Okay. I have a whole list of questions, and because I screwed up, I'm at the bottom of the hour. I leave it to you, Congressman. Are you able to will you stay for a few more minutes after the break here to talk about this so we can give you a proper airing?
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay. You can stay as long or short as you want. Folks, if you want to call in, 877-520-1150. If the congressman agrees to take calls, we'll take your calls. If you have an opinion on unwinding child labor laws, is there a specific age, Congressman?
I believe that should be set between the employer and the employee.
We will talk about this right after the break. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy with Congressman Jack Kimball, much more Republican Congressman. Yeah, I know this may be a first, a Republican congressman on the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike Malloy, speaking with Congressman Jack Kimball, U.S. Congressman from California's 54th District, who was kind enough, and I thank you, sir, was kind enough to stick around through the bottom of the hour news. Because I was running late, blah, 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 it's my fault, but he's agreed to stick around and maybe take a few calls. If you'd like to try to get in, 877-520-1150. The congressman has introduced a bill called the Roadmap for a Working America, H.R. 929, a budget-neutral jobs strategy. This is from his materials. Budget-neutral job strategy that will enable Americans of all ages to engage in meaningful employment and strip away many of the job-destroying child labor protections that American businesses have been suffering since under the New Deal. Okay, 877-520-1150. Congressman, this was rather amazing when I saw it at the state Senate level in Maine and in Missouri. Now you're talking about bringing this as a federal bill with your partner, Senator Lee, Mike Lee from Utah. How young are you talking about when it comes to extending full employment rights to all citizens, regardless of age?
Well, first I wanted to say, I noticed you use child labor as well.
What's that?
I noticed that you use child labor as well.
What do you mean?
When I was on hold and I was able to hear the feed with your public service announcements,
yeah,
I couldn't help but notice the three of them had child actors.
Well, there.
I mean, actors are employees as well.
Well, okay, all right, fair enough. But I think that there are very strict. Do we have? We must have some. You know what? We don't even hear those in the studio. But I believe you. Public service announcements, the one with the kid actors and so forth. Okay. But they have very specific rules. Those are union actors. They have very specific rules. So you're okay with children being in unions at least to protect them?
to go off on a union tangent. I don't believe in unions, period. But I do believe that the age for employment should be figured out by both the employer and the employee. And in the case of child labor, obviously the employee's parents.
Do you believe in – so you don't believe in unionizing these – how young, that's my question, are you talking about here?
Well, it should be scaled, obviously. I mean, you would not want a 10-year-old lifting heavy boxes. I mean, that's obvious. But there's no reason that a 10-year-old couldn't operate a cash register a couple hours a week or you know, pump gas in a rural area. I'm not talking about in a city, obviously. But I think that's between the employer and the employee, really, to work out.
And how many and any specific type of work that they are allowed to do or disallowed to do? Or are you just saying do away with all of the child labor?
I don't think the restrictions are needed. I when I was younger and I played Little League baseball, when I was 12 years old, there was a kid on my team who was also 12 or 11, who was about 6 feet tall and 180 pounds. He would certainly have been able to do a whole lot more heavy lifting than I could.
So some kids can do heavy lifting under your bill, as far as you're concerned.
Right, and I mean, it totally depends on
machinery?
The child.
Should they be allowed to operate heavy machinery? I mean, are there any restrictions here?
Well, there are restrictions imposed, you know, driver's licenses and such, individual states and federal laws that do require, you know, ages for certain things, and I'm not talking about overriding them.
Okay, so there are still some things will stay in effect for some certain ages. What age? Well, actually, let me go to this is a caller, actually, Barbara from San Rafael, if you don't mind, Congressman. She has the same question here. Barbara, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Perhaps you can ask this better than I can.
Oh, thank you. Hi, Brad.
Hi,
and Congressman. Hi. Yes, I'm from District 6, Marin County in San Rafael. Up north from you. But I just wanted to ask you, you know, California does have, you know, allow children to work, I believe, when they're around 16. Is that correct?
Right.
And, you know, but I think there's a restriction on the certain amount of hours that they can
hours
work.
And also time.
Uh-huh. Well, my concern is that, you know, I mean, what age would you want to, you know, allow children to start working? And don't you think that school is more important for children?
Well, one thing that's very important to me, obviously, is education. I'm actually on the board of directors of an educational reform group called Last Stand for Children First. And I do believe that it's important. But I think jobs, you know, give students an opportunity to learn skills that they wouldn't get in school.
So, Congressman, you're saying that if they would rather go to work rather than school, you're okay with that?
Well, I would hope that it would be as well as school, but for some students, let's face it, some students are never going to be brain surgeons. And if a student is not going to be able to apply himself academically, he's just not comfortable in the school setting, you know, get those skills out in the workforce now. That gives them such an advantage when they're older.
Barbara?
Well, I know that for me, when I was in high school, I got units in my high school for, you know, working with kids in a grammar school. And so, in essence, I was working, but it was through school. I'm sure those programs are still around, but, you know, I just think that it would be awfully sad to have a whole workforce of children working like and they did in the 1800s.
Well,
it seems like it would be going back in time rather than forward.
I don't always think going back in time is a bad thing, actually. One thing, I know that a lot of Democrats and liberals don't like this, but insurance in our country is still largely done through employers.
Health insurance you're talking about, right?
And
let me let Barbara go. Barbara, thanks for the call. I do appreciate it. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Congressman.
There are 8.9 million uninsured children in this country, and one of the easiest and best ways to get them insured would be to get them in the workforce where their employees could take care of them.
So you want to... So this is not just a jobs initiative, this is a health insurance initiative?
Well, it would certainly be a great fringe benefit.
Okay. I guess so. You say also in your the press materials that Christopher sent me here that this would allow us to compete globally?
Right.
What
Every
is it?
Year, the United States imports over $125 billion, that's billion with a B, dollars worth of goods from countries that we know employ child laborers under age 16. Those goods should be made in this country.
So you're saying that instead the reason that we lose that money is because they're paying child laborers slave wages around the country, Congressman. I mean, around the world. Is that what you're talking about here, playing slave labor wages?
Please don't put words in my mouth. I'm not talking about slave wages. This is America. I believe that we can do things better.
Well, we can do things better, and I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. And as you know, I'm trying to be respectful here. But how much should they be paid? 5 cents an hour? How young should they be? Infants? Should we put infants to work? Are you okay with that?
This is, once again, we're getting into that ideological problem. The government should not be telling employees how much to pay their employers. I mean, sorry, employers how much to pay their employees.
877-520-1150. If you have a thought on this, Congressman Jack Kimball, Republican, as you may have been able to tell, Republican from the 54th District in California, wants to repeal essentially all child labor laws. Right? That's it. Just let children go to work, use heavy machinery, because you didn't say there should be restrictions on that.
Well, there are already restrictions on it. Let's be honest.
What are the people in your district tell you about this? Are they in favor of this as well?
Well, my district, I'm very lucky because we have a lot of seniors in my district enjoying their golden years. And they are always coming up to me, and they love their grandchildren, but they'll always tell me they don't work hard. They don't value a dollar. All they do is they play video games, they listen to the rock music. And they want them to have the appreciation for hard work that they got. Many of them grew up in the Depression, and they would certainly like their grandchildren working in a factory or a business kind of setting rather than selling apples for a nickel on a street corner like they had to. One of the best restaurants in my district is run by a guy named Larry in Oakdale. He runs a small lobster and truffle restaurant. And one of the things that he's found is smaller children have very nimble, very dexterous fingers. And he goes through a lot of lobsters. Their best dish is a 1.5-pound lobster that's stuffed with a smaller 1-pound lobster. And declawing the lobsters, that's just a natural task for smaller hands. But if he hires children to do that, he's a criminal.
Wait. You're talking about having children, small children, because they have small hands, they're better at declaw. You wanted them to declaw lobsters?
That's one thing they can certainly do, and I'm not. They don't have to be, you know, small children. Like when you talk about five, you're getting ridiculous. Okay. But 10 years old, 9 years old, 11 years old, they can certainly handle tasks like that.
How many hours a week should they should these small children declaw live lobsters, Congressman?
Well, it would depend on the age of the employee. I would think that maybe, yeah, you know, a 9 or a 10-year-old probably could handle, you know, a couple hours on the weekend, or maybe, you know, 4 or 5 hours. But there's no reason a 14 or a 15-year-old shouldn't be able to handle close to a 40-hour week. They spend that much time playing video games already.
All right, Congressman, my phone lines are lighting up here. I leave it to you. I have to get to a break. I leave it to you. Would you like to take more callers? Completely your choice. I know you've already been kind enough to stay for second segment. It's up to you.
All right.
Okay. I do appreciate it because there's a lot of people who have a lot of questions here. The phones are going crazy. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. I'm speaking with Republican Congressman Jack Kimball of California's 54th District, U.S. Congressman, has been kind enough to join us to talk about rolling back all child labor laws because children have smaller hands and are better at something. We'll be back. Yeah, well, the phones are hopping here for some odd reason. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy, speaking with Congressman Jack Kimball, Republican. U.S. House member from the great state of California, which is where I'm from, 54th District, wants to roll back pretty much all child labor laws. And as you can imagine, Congressman, I really appreciate you staying over what we had agreed to. Got a lot of callers. I'd love to get to as many of them as I can.
Okay, I'll try to. I'll keep my answers brief.
Okay, and hopefully the callers will do the same so we can get in as many folks as we can. Boy, talk about your fair and balanced here. Let's go to Mark in Savannah, Georgia. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Mark, what's on your mind, sir?
Hi, my name is Sonia.
Oh, somebody screwed up.
California.
All right, Sonia. Hang on a second. Let me put you back on hold here. Let me get to, where was I then? Willie, let's see if we got this right. Willie in Lake County, California. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, Willie. Do you have a question for the congressman? Good.
Hey, I have a question for him. What should we do about all the grown-ups that are being put out of work now? We already have a high unemployment rate, and it's just going to put more grown-ups out of work.
Sure. I don't believe it will put grown-ups out of work, but what it will do is it will enable employers to hire cheaper employees. That's going to let their businesses expand, and when their businesses expand, that's going to actually put more grown-ups to work.
Aren't you going to lower the pay for the grown-ups also? Because why should they pay a grown-up if they can hire a kid?
Well, obviously a grown-up will be able to do things that a child simply couldn't do. I mean, even driving, for instance. Grown-ups have skills that kids don't have.
The only thing we do now is drive out here. I'm a truck driver. But the only job now is driving jobs. And that's going to be taken away by the Mexicans.
Well, I agree with you about the Mexicans, but I think that children are able to do things. I mean, even just simply loading and unloading is one thing that children can do.
All right, let me. Thanks for that call. I do appreciate it, Willie. Let me get to Danielle in Madison, Wisconsin. Welcome to the Malloy Show, Danielle. You have a question for the Congressman Jack Kimball.
Congressman, my main question is really, do you have children yourself?
I don't. Unfortunately, my wife is barren. I still love her very much, but we're not able to have children.
Your wife is, I'm sorry, you said what?
My wife is unable to have children.
I'm sorry.
Injured earlier.
I see.
I still love her very much.
One thing that is really concerning to me as a parent and as a fairly new parent, you know, to think that my child is, you know, first of all, the whole idea that you kind of came up with, like a child not possibly doing well in school, so here's a job for them, I find that to be a little concerning, considering, I mean, every child should have a chance and be put through this proper schooling, and I just think it's disturbing to me that a congressman, you know, would say such a thing. And, you know, I mean, I come from a very liberal area, and I definitely, you know.
Well, let me let him, Danielle, let me let the congressman respond there. Yeah. What because we're short on time, would you have a response to Danielle?
Yeah, I do. It's simply some students, some children do not do well in school. It's just a fact. And
I didn't do very well in school, and I did incredibly well in college. So I just, I mean, sometimes
cases,
it just takes the right school.
A lot of
and
cases,
the right,
what,
you know,
what parents
teachers.
Recommend doing with older kids is giving them some time in the workforce to get more mature so that when they do go to college, that they will do better. And you can certainly apply this with younger children as well.
Thanks for that call, Danielle. I know I'm kind of as troubled with it as you are. On Twitter, Benedict at Large says, so what this guy is saying, he's a congressman, what this congressman is saying is that any child-specific laws are unconstitutional, and he goes on to add, kiddie porn fans will love that, congressman.
Well, first off, I believe all pornography should be outlawed. What it does to families in this country, it's another issue there altogether. But obviously, there are some things that are needed to protect children. There's a difference between child pornography and working.
David in St. Paul, Minnesota, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. You're on with Brad Friedman and Congressman Jack Kimball.
Yeah, hey, Congressman. I was just wondering, since there aren't going to be any restrictions, I believe you should...
Oh, yeah, sir. Please.
Wow.
I know. The language, we are live. This is live radio, folks. And I know what the congressman is saying here is upsetting, but please watch your language. Congressman, I am sorry you had to hear that.
Okay.
Let's just move on here. Stephen in Burbank, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Please, we only have another minute or so. Your very short question for Congressman Kimball.
Hi,
Hi, Brad. Hi, Congressman Kimball. If a 14-year-old child has a criminal record, can there be an automatic court order to expunge and seal the record? Say, like, if a 15-year-old kid had just got out of Folsom prison for being there after 8 years, would he have to be able to say, well, never been arrested through the court order?
Thanks for the call, Stephen. Frankly, I'm not sure I understand that question. Do
yeah,
you, Congressman?
I'm not sure exactly either.
All right, let me see if I can get one more in then here. Mike in Buffalo, New York. Very quickly, I got 15 seconds. Your question
for
the Congressman. Yeah.
Yes, Congressman, you're talking about paying a kid less wages if they're younger and a little bit more if they're older. So
right.
If I'm an employer and let's say I run a gas station, I'm going to be hiring all the younger ones so I can pay them less. I don't see what the incentive is there to hire children.
For one thing, you'll get a reputation for only hiring cheap employees, and I don't think there's any employer in this country that wants that kind of reputation, is firing everybody as soon as they start getting more expensive. Any employer is going to be loyal to their good employees, and they'll keep them around.
So thanks for the call, Mike. So the free market, the invisible hand, if you will take care of this, Congressman, as far as you're concerned?
That's a good way to put it. Thank you.
I'm not trying to help, okay. Where can folks read more about it? We didn't even get to your consideration to run for president, Congressman. Where can folks read more about your plan?
Well, I'm still deciding basically whether to run for president. www.kimball2012.com.
Also on Twitter, Rep. Jack Kimball. Congressman, I do appreciate your time here. I think your plan here is appalling and troubling, but I appreciate it. Thank you, sir, for the time. Coming up next, Joe Linehan, political satirist from Chicago, man of many characters, will be joining us. You're listening to Brad on the Mike Malloy Show.
Everybody plays the fool sometimes. Dig this. Everybody plays the fool sometimes. There's no exception to the rule. Listen, baby, it may be factual, may be cruel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do. Welcome to the April Fool's edition of the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com sitting in for Mike Malloy tonight. No fooling. He and Kathy are gone all through next week. And so you will have me, your friendly citizen, investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, sitting in live from Los Angeles tonight and all next week. Our phone numbers are 877-520-1150. If you'd like to get into the show coming up in just a little bit here, we're going to have Ian Murphy, the editor of Buffalo Beast, made perhaps most famous for the prank call he made to Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker as David Koch. Ian is now running for Congress in New York, and that is no joke. But before I get to him, I want to very quickly here go to Joe Linehan from Chicago. He's a political satirist. As I said before the break just now, he is a man of many characters. And by the way, if you didn't hear our last hour, it'll be available tonight at bradblog.com as well as the Mike Malloy podcast. If you're not a podcast subscriber to Mike Malloy, you should be. Please do to support progressive radio over your public airwaves. And while I'm at it, please stop by the chat room, bradblog.com. We have a chat room going on in there. Lots of interesting discussions, lots of good people there. And you can also reach us on the Twitters at the Bradblog. My last guest can also be reached, followed on the Twitters. His handle there is Rep. Jack Kimball, and though he's a congressman, I highly recommend him. And though, as he told you, he was in favor of rolling back child labor laws, all of them, he's still interesting to follow. I know my next guest here, Joe Linehan of Chicago, the political satirist, has some thoughts on Congressman Jack Kimball as well. Joe, welcome, sir, to the Mike Malloy Show. Glad to have you here tonight.
Thank you, Brad. It's great to be here. And can I say April Fool's?
You can. Well done, sir.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity. It's the first time I've gotten to do Jack Kimball live. So
wait, you're not really a Republican congressman?
Sadly, no. I'm a union thug in Chicago. I'm a seventh-grade teacher.
A seventh-grade teacher, are you? We hope we didn't get you fired there, Joe.
I really do, too.
Yeah, well, we'll find out, I guess, by Monday. That is the first time. That was, of course, Joe Lenihan of Chicago playing Congressman Jack Kimball of the 54th District of California. There is no 54th District in California,
right.
Is there?
I've actually never been to California. I just picked California because there are so many congressmen, I figured no one would really notice another one.
You know, and for any listeners who were fooled by our last hour, you're not alone. Jonathan Capehart of the Washington Post not long ago actually quoted you in one of his columns, didn't he, Joe?
He didn't actually just quote me. He wrote the whole column based on one of my quotes.
It was like a budget.
Right. I mentioned that Obama was doing a lousy job with the economy and that George Bush was able to fight wars in both Afghanistan and Iraq without it costing us a cent because it wasn't on the budget.
And Jonathan Capehart of Washington Post wrote a column to prove you wrong.
Yeah, in fairness, though, he was right. I mean, Bush just didn't put those words anywhere in the budget.
Well, that's true. That part is true. And how long have you been playing Rep. Jack Kimball on Twitter, Joe?
I think it's about 2 years now.
And I found you, I think you had just a few followers when I found you, thought you were hysterical. And I do recommend anybody who is on Twitter's, please follow Jack Rep. Jack Kimball. You also have some other characters you also play on Twitter?
Well, okay. I mentioned I'm a teacher, and I think one of the callers I told was with laststandforchildren.org. Uh-huh. Chicago, even though it's being run by a Democratic administration and has been since the days of Al Capone, is under this type of threat that they're got everywhere else in this country. They're trying to take away due process. They're trying to take away seniority, basically all the things that make working conditions, you know, mm-hmm. what they are. And so I decided to satirize some of these neoliberal, neoconservative educational groups. So there's Last Stand for Children First.
LastStandForChildren.org, right?
Right. And that's with a four, with the E word.
With a four. And there's also Kimball2012.com, where the congressman is considering his run in 212. And, yeah.
And then it all started with That's Right, Nate, which Kimball kind of spun out of, which was a conservative blog, a fake conservative blog.
That'srightnate.com.
Right.
We will try to put up all those links later on our website. And Joe Lenihan, who plays Rep. Jack Kimball on Twitter and now apparently on radio. I should add, by the way, the caller who we said had cursed on air, he didn't really. He just asked if it was an April Fool's joke. And
right.
So we had to dump them. But the odd thing, 2 points, Joe, before I let you go,
sure.
And then we will be getting on to Ian Murphy shortly.
Although
so
I'm actually really looking forward to hearing. Obviously, doing what I do, I'm thrilled to, you know, love what he did to David, did to the governor. That's awesome.
Yeah, well, you know what? Maybe I can bring him on in a second with you. But, Joe, let me. There's 2 points I want to make. One, we had a caller on hold pretty much the whole hour who agreed with you. And thought that we should that there should be no minimum wage and no age for child labor at all. And I tried to get to him, but I couldn't. So my apologies for not being fair and balanced there. And the other thing was, you and I had talked about doing this about 3 or 4 weeks ago when it seemed like an crazy, insane idea.
Right. That was when there were just some inklings out of Missouri and Mike Lee had started opening his mouth.
And now in Maine, the stuff I opened the hour with, that stuff is real. The Maine Congresswoman, Republican House and Senate, and a governor look to really be repealing child labor laws
right.
in the state of Maine. And after I saw Rachel Maddow talk about this last night, I thought, how can we possibly up the ante? Because it's happening for real right now, Joe.
This Well, this is one of the things. Newt Gingrich always, every time I give a crackpot idea, Newt Gingrich jumps on it. I don't know if he's secretly following me or what, but it seems every time I come up with something that's just out of the, you know, nobody would ever say, Newt Gingrich will be on Sunday talk show saying the exact same thing.
It is not easy to satirize these clowns anymore. But
I've learned about what's called Poe's Law because basically, yeah, I am satirizing someone that's so far out there to begin with.
Right. And what is Poe's Law?
Poe's Law, it goes back to the earlier days of the internet, and it basically has to do with satirizing the religious right.
Uh-huh.
And basically, when you satirize someone that's so close to the edge, it's very, very difficult to do because they will be crazier.
Yeah, and they have not disappointed us in that regard. Joe Linehart.
Linehan.
I'm sorry. Jeez. Linehan. Oh, what do you care? You don't care what anybody calls you. Joe Linehan, who plays Rep. Jack Kimball on the Twitters. Joe, really appreciate you playing along with us tonight here on the Mike Morning Show. Great talking to you. And by the way, this is the first time you have been outed publicly. So
that is correct.
Good luck to you, my friend. Thanks, buddy. Ian Murphy will be joining us here. No joke, really, promise, swear, the guy who punked Scott Walker, Governor Scott Walker, on this very special April Fool's edition of the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman, no fooling, in for Mike tonight and all next week when we will try to get to more serious issues. I'll try, but no promises. There are some serious issues out there. We'll talk about them in the third hour. If you'd like to give us a call, if you'd like to talk to Ian Murphy, the guy who played David Koch. To Scott Walker, give us a call, 877-520-1150, if you have a question for him. He's running for Congress. You're listening to Brad on the Mike Malloy Show. Big show straight ahead. Stay tuned.
Evo walking on the moon. Smog will get you pretty soon. I'm a grinner, I'm a lover, and I'm a sinner. I play my music in the sun. I'm a joker, I'm a smoker, I'm a midnight toker. I give my loving on the run.
Ooh. Me? Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. The special April Fool's edition, Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike Malloy tonight. Glad you could join us. Our phone numbers are 877-520-1150, and we have a lively chat room ongoing at bradblog.com. Hope you'll stop by there and say hello. My next guest here, let me get my paperwork in order. I was going to say my next guest, no joke. I guess I have to keep saying that. Ian Murphy, you may know him better as David Koch, the fella who, one of the Koch brothers, who called up Governor Scott Walker and punked him and punked him something bad. He is the editor of Buffalo Beast, buffalobeast.com, and sometimes poses as David Koch, and is also now running as running for Congress. We'll find out if that's a joke or not. Hey, Ian, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Hey, Brad, how's it going?
It's going okay. We're having fun tonight in our special April Fool's edition.
That is not a joke, by the way.
Which part? The Congress part?
Yeah, not a joke. Completely serious.
That's what I've been trying to figure out. I went to your website, which is, by the way, and if you don't want to make a joke out of it, you might have thought of that before you got the website murphycanhascongress.com.
Well, no, I think once you contrast my website and my issues page with those of my opponents, you'll see that I'm the one that's taking this seriously.
Well, yeah, because I know a lot of your opponents are calling for jobs, jobs, jobs. But your first issue I see here at the top is not that, but it's actually jobs, 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 jobs.
Yeah.
So,
I'm taking it at least twice as seriously as they are.
I could see that. Okay, Ian, we will talk about your run for Congress as the Green Party candidate. You have now gotten the nomination for real, right, from the Green Party?
Yes, that is real.
In New York's 26th district, where there is an ongoing election, the May 24th, the election, to replace Chris Lee, the congressman who famously took pictures of himself shirtless and put them onto Craigslist, right?
That is correct.
Is it any kind of coincidence that you happen to live in Congressman Chris Lee's district, Ian Murphy?
I suppose it is a coincidence.
I guess it is a coincidence. But it was just remarkable that you would be. You said you were actually thinking of running for this seat prior to your call as David Koch to Scott Walker, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. But there wasn't a real way to collect the 3,500 signatures, and I didn't think that a party would actually nominate me. So,
and were you planning on running before Christopher Lee took off his shirt and for Craigslist and did all of that?
Well, it's been something I've been musing about for a few years.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's dead serious. Running for Congress in the New York's 26th district. The special election is May 24th. We will talk about your issues, and I know you actually do have some very real issues here. We'll get to them in a second. But what were you thinking when you What were you thinking when you called up Scott Walker? Did you think you would actually get through?
Not for a minute. I thought there was no way. No way in hell.
And how long did you did you think about it? Did it take you a while, or was this something you did on a whim one day?
It was on a whim. I woke up and I thought, I'm going to try this. The thing is, the night before, I went to sleep thinking I would try it posing as Hosni Mubarak, and I was going to call Scott Walker and express my support for all the fine things he's doing for the people of Wisconsin. But I decided to go with, I called an option at the last second, and the only notes I had was C-O-K-E. Pronounce it like that.
Oh, yeah, I know, because I keep kind of making that mistake myself.
Yeah.
So how long did it take you from the time that you dialed in till you were actually speaking with Governor Walker?
It was about 2 hours, because I called once. I got as soon as I dropped the name Koch, I got transferred to the assistant executive governor, and she told me to call back. I called back and talked to the chief of staff, and he told me to call back later. So, yeah, each time I called, I thought, the jig is up for sure. They went through some back channels. They sent out an email. They did something to see, because the idea was ridiculous that David Koch is calling with Skype. He's calling the number on their website, and he's waiting for 10 minutes at a time going through busy signals and rings. You
just called the regular number on the on Governor Walker's website.
That's right.
And was there any skepticism anywhere along the way before you got to talk to the governor?
Apparently not.
I mean, nobody asked for credentials, asked for nothing.
Nothing, no.
Wow. And did you know what you were going to say once you talked to the governor?
No, not really. I wish now I'd been better prepared, but I kind of presumed that each time I called, I would be found out as a fraud. So,
well, what was actually brilliant about it is you didn't say very much on those calls. You didn't need to. You just kept, the more you shut up, the more he seemed to be wanting to fill in the gaps with stuff he shouldn't be saying.
Yeah, that's right. I didn't say much. And I think Tom Hartman put it pretty well when he said it sounded like Walker was interviewing for a job.
It totally did. He's exactly right. 877-520-1150 is our phone number if you want to speak with Ian Murphy, the man who punked Governor Walker, Governor Scott Walker. Do you think, Ian, and I got to get to a break shortly, but we'll have a big segment after the break. Do you think that your call made any difference politically in what actually happened out there?
It's still happening. I think that's an important point to make. It's not over. And it did make some difference. I think it changed the narrative slightly. I think it pulled the sheets back over the slime ball for what he's really doing. And, I spent a week in Wisconsin a few weeks ago, and that's what people were telling me. So I'll believe them.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, because you're not from Wisconsin at all.
I'm originally from California's 54th congressional district.
Smartly done, Ian Murphy. All right, check out his website, murphycanhascongress.com. And that's a joke that some of you out there on the internet may understand, but it's a very real website and a very real run for Congress. Ian Murphy, who played David Koch in that call to Scott Walker. He's going to stay with us after this. We'll take your calls, 877-520-1150, and more of his issues. Brad on The Molloy Show.
See you there. My name's Ian Murphy. You may know me as the irreverent editor of thebuffalobeast.com. You may also know me as that guy who pranked Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker and revealed his sinister plan to crush public unions. Or maybe you just know me as your incredibly sexy neighbor in New York's 26th congressional district. You know, the one recently vacated by Republican and tranny aficionado Chris Lee. I come to you today through these here internet tubes to make a very special statement regarding the special election on the 26th. I am proud to announce that I am the official Green Party candidate to fill this seat in Congress. Yep, we did the paperwork and everything. Now, you may be wondering, what's my platform?
Yeah, what's your platform?
That's a great question. Yeah. Thanks for asking. My platform is threefold. Tax...
He's reading off his hand,
two,
off his palm here.
Reduce the decibels. And three, anger. Is that right? Yeah, anger. I'm angry about where this country's going. And I'm angry about where the Republicans and the Democrats are taking it. I'm angry that the only people with a voice in this country are those who can afford it. And I'm angry that the billionaires create their wealth not through a hard day's work, but by stealing from those who do. I'm angry that not one Wall Street crook has gone to jail for wrecking the economy. I'm angry that we're still wasting vast treasure and lives on foolish military occupations. I'm angry because my campaign manager thought I should wear this goofy sweater. But most of all, I'm angry because things should be better, because we can be better. And with your vote, I'll fight to make that happen. Go to murphycanhascongress.com to find out more about my campaign. Thank you for listening. I'm Ian Murphy, and I approve this message.
Ian Murphy is running for Congress. He is, of course, the editor of the Buffalo Beast, and he is my guest. Brad Friedman in for Mike Molloy tonight on our special April Fool's Day edition. Of course, this is no joke. Ian is really running for Congress in New York's 26th, especially after having pranked Governor Scott Walker by playing David Koch. Hey, Ian, have you done these sort of prank calls before, or was this one your first?
Yeah, we've done a few prank calls in the past.
Okay.
Probably the most famous before this was we prank called the mayor of Buffalo and the mayor of Ottawa. This was during the NHL playoff series.
Right.
It might have even been the finals. I don't know anything about sports. But the idea was we're going to try to get them to rig the game. And the mayor of Ottawa actually at the time agreed to it.
No.
Yeah, he agreed that he would send jobs down to Buffalo if we threw the series.
Oh, my God. Was there repercussions? He didn't really promise he was going to try to rig the game.
No, he did. He did. And, you know, the way they played it off was he knew it was a joke the whole time, and he did not know it was a joke.
I have a lot of people who want to talk to you, 877-520-1150. But I need to ask you this, Ian. What's different between what you did in this call as David Koch to Governor Walker?
No.
And?
Brad, no.
And?
Yeah, James O'Keefe.
James
right?
O'Keefe. What's the right. difference between
okay.
what you did? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I've been asked this
Okay, the difference is...
So you're saying it's a lame question? Is that what you're saying? See, I was the guy who was instrumental in uncovering the fact that what O'Keefe did as that pimp video in Acorn was a hoax. See, and I've been very critical of him, so I need to be critical of you, if appropriate.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, yeah.
Go ahead.
Appropriate, but it's not appropriate.
Why?
That's why. While we may use trickery to obtain information, he takes his information, his raw data, and edits it out of context to fit his conservative narrative. I would never do that to fit any narrative.
You, sir, are exactly right. And the fact that people...
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, the fact that people... Well, actually, you're not exactly right. You said he's got a conservative narrative. He's got a Republican right-wing narrative. Nothing conservative about it. But...
I don't know these words anymore,
Brad. I know.
I can't tell what the hell's going on.
I know. I hear you. But no, you're right. And the people who say, oh, that's just like what the guy did up there in Wisconsin. It is not. Because you released... Did you edit your phone call in any way that you released on YouTube?
No, I did not.
That was
the only thing was I had a free Skype recording service that only recorded 15 minutes at a time. So I actually had to slap the two recordings together. But that's it.
Okay. No, nothing removed from the call at all.
No.
Okay. That's what people don't seem to understand. The fact that James O'Keefe takes the material and makes up crap and moves it around and make it appear as if something it was not.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Just wanted to make that clear for people. You want to take some calls, Ian?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Anita in Minneapolis. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, Anita.
You are my superhero. You are my superhero, Ian. I used to be married to a KOCH. They will take everything you got, your children, your sanity. They fooled and tricked me so much. Thank you so much. Now, do you know anything about this movie that they're making called KOCHExposed.com that Greenwald is making?
Robert Greenwald.
Yeah.
I don't know if he does or not. Anita, thanks for that call. I appreciate it.
Really important work you did. Thank you.
Oh,
did I didn't drop Ian, did I?
No.
Oh, okay, good. Oh, there you go. I dropped her. Sorry about that.
I just got that email about the Greenwald movie. It looks cool. What was it? Something like the five most evil things the Kochs have done or something like that?
Something like that. Yeah, Robert Greenwald. And I should have the website in front of me for that, but of course I don't. Let's go to here's Sean in your own home district, I think, in Buffalo. Of course, this is Ian Murphy, editor of Buffalo Beast. So, Sean, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Thank you.
What's on your mind? Did you have a question for Ian Murphy, and are you going to be voting for him?
I do have a question for Ian Murphy, and I'm just outside of his district, so I will not be voting for him, but if I could, I would.
There you go.
He's a little too suburban for me. But I'm curious... I'm curious about even about this issue you're having with people taking you seriously. And even tonight when the show started, you know, there's this issue, is it a joke? And I'm curious what you think of this, people trying to resolve the fact that you're using humor to get your word out versus, you know, first of all, your opponents have had so much money, you have to take a creative route. It seems that humor is the way you're going, and people are struggling with that.
Okay, Sean, your phone's breaking up a little bit, so I'm going to drop you, but let me get your answer off air. He's got a good point here, Ian. If you expect to be taken seriously as the Green Party candidate, let's run through some of the issues that aren't jokes, that you actually do care about, and the reason why you are running for the U.S. Congress in the 26th District.
Sure. Well, you know, income disparity in this country is worse now than any time since the Great Depression. It's worse now than any other industrialized nation. And that reason is because we don't tax billionaires, we don't tax corporations, and our military budget is insanely bloated. So if you take care of those three things, I think we'd be on the right path to have to have normal citizens who can lead decent lives.
And while your website, MurphyCanHasCongress.com, is quite amusing, and by the way, it doesn't even say what district you're running in, Ian.
Oh, well.
A little oversight. Yeah.
There's only one election happening right now, as far as I know.
Well, there's actually one next Tuesday in Wisconsin. But
Right. That's right. Yeah. Come alive, April 5.
Yeah, that's right. There are you actually have an issues page there. Yes, you're in favor of things like comedy and adorable puppies. Also some very serious issues. Universal health care, secular values, reinstating Glass-Steagall. What is that? What does that mean? We don't know.
Oh, well, you know, it was a post-Depression piece of legislation that separated investment banks with, normal consumer banks. And the idea is that your bank couldn't take your money and invested it in crap. Mm-hmm. Just to make a short-term profit. And that's a lot of what happened in the 2008's global collapse of
right.
the economy.
Right.
And that's a key piece of legislation. And the fact that we have this, quote, Wall Street reform that went through and nothing like that attached to it is just indicative of what a joke that is.
Right.
That's a joke.
All right. And and of course, I did know what Glass-Steagall was, but it was a little
sure,
a test for you to see if you could pull off your congressman act. How about climate change? What would you like to do about that?
Well, you know, that's kind of a tricky subject. You know, everybody's convinced that you can't cap carbon. It's an energy tax. But basically what we would do is tax carbon and at the same time invest in green energy. And the taxing of carbon, I would make sure it's not passed along to the consumers. I would make sure it comes out of fat bonuses for the CEOs.
Smartly done. You're starting to get my vote here. Let's go to Gene in Napa. Wait, do I have this right? I don't know how to use the phone. I'm the fill-in guy. Gene in Napa, California. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Do you have a question for Ian Murphy?
Yes. Before I give my question, though, I wanted to compliment you. I felt your characterization of Coke was inspired. A mere wannabe have, like Scott Walker, really had no idea what David Coke would sound like after one of the have mores has a bottle of wine and three cognacs. and Walker sounded so eager to please, it made me think that Ronald Reagan must have been that pleased when he was looking for his best role his whole acting career.
Agreed.
Here's my question. Reagan left California in shambles with a wounded college system and mentally ill living homeless on the streets, and he still was a hero to the right. Ian, do you think that Walker might do a Reagan with the damage he's doing in Wisconsin?
Yeah, well, that's his game plan. I mean, that's what he fantasized about during the call. And what's great is, you know, on the one side, the phone call kind of and this whole situation has brought it's kind of polarized everyone a little bit. I mean, it changed some minds in the middle, like, oh, this guy's a piece of crap. But, you know, these diehard conservatives just love what he's doing. And, you know, if you can see the kind of anti-worker, anti-child labor laws kind of sweeping the nation, you can see there's a big move on this kind of draconian, economic policy.
They're getting a lot of lift out of it. They really are.
Thanks for your call, Gene. I appreciate it. Yeah, Ian, do you have any idea how hard it was to come up with a way to talk about child labor laws that was beyond realistic? I mean, these guys have just gone...
No, absolutely. I mean, that's what I was thinking about when I was on hold. I'm listening to Lenahan, Joe, right?
Right.
And you know, you got to give him credit, but how it's these people? How do you parody someone? You know, like Michelle Bachmann. How do you satirize someone like that?
I know.
I mean, he talked about Poe's Law. It's so difficult. They've gotten to that point where if you just went to Michelle Bachmann's site and read her, saw her on the floor of C-SPAN, you might think it was the Onion News Network.
Yep. No, exactly right. And well, good luck to satirists out there. We're speaking with Ian Murphy of the meanest little paper in New York, or at least meanest little website, BuffaloBeast.com. So mean that you guys actually wrote about me, I think, at one point. Wrote an article or an interview or something about me. But it's a really great site anyway, BuffaloBeast.com. We'll come back with a few more of your calls, 877-520-1150. And the next hour, or anything you want to talk about. Bless you. Got a cold? You're listening to Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Stay with us. The Back in the New York groove, Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy tonight. Yeah, you can keep it playing. It's Kiss, you know. What were you going to say? Of course, for Ian Murphy, the editor of BuffaloBeast.com, more famous as David Koch in his call to Governor Scott Walker. And, of course, he's now running for Congress in New York's 26th district. Some of the folks in the... here we go. There you go. That's just for you. You're welcome, Ian. In the chat room, in the bradblog.com chat room, Orangutan says that Ian saved the Republic with that phone call. For Earth says she would vote for you for your website name alone, which is MurphyCanHasCongress.com. We'll get to some calls, 877-520-1150. Do you think you saved the Republic? Do you think this thing will... we're sort of waiting now for what Scott Walker is going to do. But do you think the... Who's going to win this, the Democrats or the Republicans, or are we all losers here?
Yeah, I don't want to say Democrats or Republicans. I think the people are going to win this. That's how it always works out. It just takes time. There might be... setbacks, but that's how it goes.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm optimistic about what's going on in Wisconsin. I mean, the judge has ordered several injunctions because they're not listening to her. But it seemed to have taken hold. They got enough signatures to recall one of the state senators, Kapanki, I think his name is.
Right.
Another one named Hopper is definitely out. And there's at least one more who's definitely going to get fired.
You think so?
Definitely.
All they need is three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if they can hold up the law in court until that happens, then it's golden. Also, after the week I spent in Wisconsin, I'd say once Walker's year is up, which is the law, you can't recall him until he's been in office for a year.
Right.
He's going to get fired.
You, are they going to remember next January what went on here? You think Americans have that long enough memory span? At this point,
I don't know if Americans do, but Wisconsinites do.
There you go. All right, let me get some calls in real quick before the top of the hour. Mike in Clarence, New York. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Hey, Ian, it's great to talk to you. I'm in your district, as you can tell.
Woo!
Yeah. I guess I want to congratulate you on running and stuff like that. So, I'll tell you though, the way this country's going, I don't know. I don't have any hope for this country. I really don't.
Mike, does Ian Murphy have a chance of winning in that district, winning the U.S. House race?
Boy, I'll tell you, I sure hope he does, but I don't think it's going to happen. The money has taken over politics. There's just no getting around it, and it's taken over this country. And with these Republican governors too, I don't know what they're thinking, but they're not going to see a second term. There's no way.
Mike,
it's just outrageous what they're doing.
Thanks for your call, Mike. Ian Murphy, who are your? I think your Republican candidate is Jane Corwin. Is that her name?
Yes, Jane Corwin. She's a millionaire.
Uh-huh.
My Democratic opponent, Kathy Hochul, she is a millionaire.
Uh-huh.
And the Tea Party candidate, Jack Davis, is a multimillionaire.
Uh-huh.
And I have about $100. And I'm rounding up. I'm rounding up, Brad. And
I see.
Mike was absolutely correct. Money is taking over politics 100%. If you go to Kathy Hochul's website or you go to Jane Corwin's website, there's not a hair's difference between what they're saying. It's Republican and Republican light. It's business-friendly talk, and it's all about giving away everyone's money to the richest people in the country, and that's got to stop.
And you plan to stop that as a Green Party candidate for the U.S. House?
Hell yeah.
All right. What kind of voting machines you use up there, Ian?
Bought a bunch of really great ones on eBay.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Don't give away my whole next hour, Ian.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, actually, you just get a bunch of new ones, and they're made by Dominion, I think, and you got a lot of problems. But good luck with that, Ian. Ian Murphy, editor of BuffaloBeast.com, fake Scott Koch, no, David Koch, and the Green Party candidate for the U.S. House in New York's 26th District, the Fighting 26th, of course. May 24 is the election. He's hysterical, but it's a very serious campaign. You can find out more and donate at MurphyCanHasCongress.com. Thanks for your good work, Ian.
Thank you so much, Brad.
Keep up the good work, buddy. All right, much more Mike Malloy Show, special April Fool's Edition continues straight ahead. Your calls, 877-520-1150. The whole hour is open for you. Brad in for Mike. Welcome back to the Rush Limbaugh Show. Brad Friedman of the Heritage Foundation in for Rush today behind the golden EIB microphone of the great Rush Limbaugh, who is out this morning, but he will be back next week. Delighted to sit in for him, and I should say I'm welcoming a lot of new affiliates tonight to the Rush Limbaugh Show. Today, rather, this morning, and it is a beautiful day. A lot of those Democrat stations around the country, a lot of the liberal stations have finally figured out that liberal radio is no good, and they have picked up the Rush Limbaugh Show. So you might want to call your affiliates tomorrow and thank them if you happen to be in one of those markets that is now playing
Brad,
this for the first time.
Brad?
The Rush...
Brad?
What?
Brad, this is not the Rush Limbaugh Show.
This is the Rush Limbaugh Show.
No, this is not. This is not the Rush Limbaugh Show. This is the Mike Malloy Show. This is not Tony. That's
this
it.
Is,
stop. We're, no. Stop it. Knock it off. Not the Rush Limbaugh Show.
All right. Hey, Dez.
Hey, how's it going?
So this is not the Rush Limbaugh Show.
This is not the Rush Limbaugh Show.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks for ruining all my fun. I really appreciate it. So why don't you just go back outside, do what you were doing in the hallway. What were you doing?
Oh, I was screening the calls and running the chat room.
Oh, producing the show, were you?
Yeah, that thing.
All right, go do that.
Okay, bye.
That's the lovely Desi Doyen. Thank you, Desi. Well done. Good acting job. You can call her and talk to her at 877-520-1150, or you can talk to me, Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen investigative journalist, blogger, troublemaker, apparently, and muckraker from bradblog.com on the live April Fool's Day edition of the Mike Malloy Show. Mike will be back with you not next week. I'm here all week, and I promise to be a little bit more serious, maybe, next week. But until then, it's our April Fool's edition. If you'd like to get in on that edition, 877-520-1150, please stop by our chat room at bradblog.com, and you can find me on the Twitters at TheBradBlog. If you missed any portion of our show, by the way, today, we will have it up at bradblog.com later, or over at MikeMalloy.com, where you need to be a podcast subscriber, and you should be if you want to keep progressive radio on the public airwaves, where it belongs, instead of those 91% of talk radio is right-wing radio, corporate right-wing radio. Not because it's more popular, not because it gets better ratings, but because the corporations who own the stations put on guys like Rush Limbaugh instead of Mike Malloy and Randy and Tom and all the other progressives on our public airwaves. All right. So anyway, hope you forgive me having a little bit of fun tonight, because the last 3 weeks have been hellish following what's going on in Fukushima. I've been following it around the clock. Things are, as I said at the top of the show, we will call them stable for the moment. Anytime I seem to say that, that changes quickly. And it is currently, as we speak to you now, it would be Saturday. Do I have my times right? 2 a.m. No, 2 p.m., I think. I can't figure it out. In Tokyo, in Fukushima, and that's when things seem to start happening on the Twitters. 8 quake damage radiation monitoring units at the Fukushima plant were repaired yesterday. Well, that's good. They repaired the radiation monitors at Fukushima. Nice. TEPCO had been relying on a car-mounted device, says the Daily Yomiuri. So anyway, I've been keeping my eyes on that. What is going on there is remarkable. We will be talking about it quite seriously, I'm sure, next week. Not a lot of new news in the last 24 hours out of the Fukushima Daiichi plant. Other than we have learned that the tremors exceeded the design limits for 3 of the reactors. In other words, they were only designed for earthquakes up to a certain point, and the earthquake that hit it was much, much worse. Keep that in mind. It was also only set to withstand an 18-foot tsunami, and the one that hit it was believed to be some 40 feet. So keep that in mind as they are now beginning to do a safety review of nuclear plants in this country and telling you, oh, it's fine. Oh, it's built. The one out here, Diablo, I know it's a half a mile from an earthquake, but it's built to withstand the worst possible earthquake. Do you believe them? 877-520-1150. They believed them in Japan, and look how that went. Their TEPCO, Tokyo Electric Power Company, is now recruiting workers for up to $5,000 per day. And they have admitted they don't have nearly enough radiation monitors, dosimeters, for the employees there to wear. So they're going out in teams where one person in the team was wearing the dosimeter and letting everyone else know if they had had too much radiation. And we're talking about folks who are working in water that was 10,000 times the legal limit for radiation at 3 out of the 4 of the crippled reactors. One of them was 100,000 times. I don't know if that's come down, but it was 100,000 times the legal limit. And that, of course, incredibly seemed like good news for a moment. Why? Because TEPCO, Tokyo Electric Power Company, had come out and said it was 10 million times higher than the allowable levels, and everyone beat a hasty retreat. The employees had to scram from the area out of the plant, and then TEPCO came back and said, oh, no, it's our mistake. Sorry about that. It was only 100,000 times higher than the legal limit. So rejoice. The Fukushima 50, as they're called, and of course there are now about 450 of them. Many of them have said that they are ready to die with radiation within weeks in order to save Japan. Heroes all in my book. 877-520-1150. Before I get to your calls here, an item that I know this is going to sound like an April Fool's joke, but sadly, it is not. Diebold touchscreen e-voting machines are now for sale on eBay. Yes, you heard me right. You heard Ian Murphy in the last hour. He had mentioned it because in fact, we broke the story at bradblog.com earlier this week, and LA Times have now picked it up. But here's what you need to know. With these touchscreen voting machines now available for the buy it now price of just $1,200, but you can bid any amount you like, and this is no joke, with 212 around the corner and these babies still in use at polling places all over the country, why not get one or more of them right now for your very own? With one of these, you too can learn all the ins and outs of voting, quote unquote voting, before the pressure of Election Day when that, quote, vote will really, quote, count. Yes, they're great for social clubs like political parties or even terrorist groups. Why wait? They're sure to disappear fast, just like the 100% unverifiable votes that are cast on them. Because it's Diebold, by the way, you know it comes from a company that you trust. Whether you like to or not, you have no choice. And with bids starting as low as anything you like, this tens of thousands of a kind e-voting machine is sure to be a steal. I wish I was kidding about these, but these are actually for real. You can buy these, and you can use them, and you can practice with them, and you can figure out how to game the election before it gets here. They come from, by the way, Van Wert County, Ohio. And so, you know, they work at least as well as they did in Ohio. And he's got more than 100 of them, the seller over at eBay told me. And I've been trying to get comment from the EAC, the U.S. Elections Assistance Commission, if they're cool with these machines being out there for anybody to get to use them to, well, you can program voter cards with them. You can, I don't need to give you ideas, do I? Hey, Anonymous. Have you gotten one of these machines yet? I did have a word. Let's see if I can find it. I had asked for comment from the former Ohio Secretary of State, Jennifer Brunner, as well as the current California Secretary of State, Deborah Bowen, how they felt about these machines being out there in the general public. Because years ago, when I was able to get one from a source and we gave it to Princeton University, it was all hush-hush, top secret. These machines weren't supposed to be out there in the public because if you had access to these machines, you'd be able to use them to steal an election. And Princeton showed exactly how you might do that. And in fact, this last week, LA Times picked up my scoop, and thank you. They gave proper attribution and pointed out that Princeton hack from a couple of years ago, showing how easy it is to use one of these machines to steal an election. So I asked for comment from the U.S. Election Assistance Commission and from those two secretaries of state. I got a comment late today just before going on the air. From the office of Secretary of State, California Secretary of State Deborah Bowen, who says, like many products, voting machines are available on the open market. Certainly, the Secretary of State's office is aware of this practice, which is why the 2007 top-to-bottom review approval document for the Diebold AccuVote TSX voting system adopted rigorous security requirements. And in fact, she did she actually decertified, the California Secretary of State Bowen decertified those machines, though she did allow them for use for disabled voters. And in a couple of counties, though she didn't allow the Diebold touchscreen systems, but a couple of counties still get to use those 100% unverifiable touchscreen voting systems. For example, Orange County. In the meantime, these very same systems, Diebold, AccuVote, touchscreen systems, are used all over the country, where some 20 to 30% of the voters in this nation next year in 2012 will be using these touchscreen machines to cast their votes, even though it is 100% unverifiable whether the machines recorded them accurately or not. So get yours now. Stop on over at eBay. Stop on, we got the link, of course, at bradblog.com. Okay, when we get back, your calls at 877-520-1150. Some more comedy from the U.S. House. All of this real. All the news in this hour is real. Just to make that clear, since this is April 1st, and this is our special April Fool's Day edition, delighted you could join us here. Coming back, as I say, with your calls and some more news here and there. You're listening to Brad on the Mike Malloy Show. Stay with us.
When you go, you gotta dream a little, dream as years go by. Now and then, there's a fool such as I.
King of Fools. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Special April Fool's Day edition. Glad you could join us. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in. We'll be taking your calls in a moment. 877-520-1150. I don't want to forget to mention next week, Monday, I think, Hank Johnson, congressman from, a Democratic congressman from Atlanta. Or near Atlanta. Mike's Congress. I think it's Malloy's congressman. That's right. He will be joining us to talk about some news in the U.S. chamber plot the U.S. Chamber spy plot, smear plot, fraud plot to try to discredit progressive organizations, people, and journalists, including yours truly, which is the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. That's where we sort of ended the week last time I was guest hosting back in February. That story was just breaking quite literally while we were on the air. And Congressman Johnson is trying to have some hearings in the U.S. House. And I think the Republicans are not making it easy on him. Also, next week, a lot of stuff. Tim DeChristopher, who has just been found guilty of bidding up a federal sale of federal land during the Bush administration, bidding it up to try to keep it out of corporate hands, a hero. He has he will be joining us as well next week and much, much more. Let me see if I have time for a call before the break. I do. Let me get to, people who disagree with me always go first. John, East Bay, California. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. John, what's on your mind, sir?
Oh, I just heard about the thing about the reactors and about how, you know, it could happen here, just, you know, what happened in Japan and all that sort of thing, you know.
Yeah, do you have a, are you on a speakerphone, John?
Yeah, hang on just a
Get to your regular phone there.
Okay, well, this is a cell phone. Let me just open it up here and take it off the speaker, then, I guess.
Yeah, that would be good. Oh, John. John, we're at the bottom of the hour, and you don't have your speaker phone. Come, John. Where's John? Did we lose John? No, we lost John entirely. All right, he's back on hold. Let's go to Jim in San Francisco. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Jim, what's on your mind?
Hey, so great, great show. And I want to let people know that on April 4th, you know, people are going to be marching in solidarity with the people in Wisconsin. And this is really growing. You know, the Tea Party had 200 people in Washington, D.C. the other day.
Yeah, like nobody showed up. Nobody was there except for media. Tons and tons of media turned out for like a few dozen people, maybe 200.
Yeah. Yeah,
because they're
so
Tea Partiers.
This has got 600 events planned across the country right now. The website's a little weird. It's www.we-r-1-org. But just go and do We Are One in a Google or your favorite search engine, and you can find it. The other thing that I wanted to mention real quickly that's really growing also is the Uncut, usuncut.org.
Yep.
And we had about 40 demonstrations last weekend here in San Francisco. We had a sit-in in a Bank of America for an hour.
Yep.
And then outside. And, you know, you say to people, we worked hard all week, and we pay our taxes, and Bank of America, and FedEx, and a bunch of these other tax cheats, they don't pay theirs.
GE, you know, Exxon, paid no taxes. In a year that corporate profits were at an all-time high last year. It's absolutely appalling, Jim. I thank you for the work you're doing. Thanks for getting on the air and letting people know what's going on up in Wisconsin Monday. We're going to be following that, of course, with that election on Tuesday. We will, as you may suspect, have our eyes on that. Thanks, Jim. I got to run to a break here. You're listening to Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Much more show. Oh, what happened to John? Did he go away? I wasn't hanging up on you, John. I do want to hear what you have to say. Give us a call back if you want. 877-520-1150. To your Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com. And our phone numbers are 877-520-1150.
Yeah.
We don't get fooled again.
No, we don't. 877-520-1150. Brad of bradblog.com. In for Mike. I'll get to your calls in a moment, but I had to get, well, let's see, a couple of things. Some breaking news. Government, this has been talked about for the last few days, the Japanese government to buy part of TEPCO because of the nuclear disaster, according to the Mainichi Daily News. I haven't gotten to look at the story yet, but it comes from a reliable source out there in Tokyo. There have been talk all week about nationalizing Tokyo Electric Power Company because their stock has just fallen through. I think it's lost, the company's lost two-thirds of its value. And what happens when that happens to a company? A corporation? Yeah. The government comes in, bails them out, saves their asses, saves all the people, does all the heavy lifting. But, of course, the companies take all the profits in the good times or even in the bad times. Record unemployment here over the last year or so. And yet, best year for corporate profits ever. Some good news today from the Labor Department, sort of. Added the U.S. economy added 216,000 jobs last month. John Boehner's not going to be happy. And then this from the U.S. House Science. I love this story from Grist. Again, kind of goes along with our April Fool's edition, except this is, again, for real. From Grist, Jess Zimmerman reports, if you're a climate hawk, or even a climate hobbyist, this graph should look familiar. And they show the hockey stick graph. I'm sure you've seen it if you saw Al Gore's movie. I didn't see it, but I'm familiar with the graph where temperatures rise wildly after 1980. Okay. So if you're a climate hawk or even a climate hobbyist, this graph should look familiar. It's the warming trend over the last 100-odd years, except the guy who busted this out at the House climate science hearing yesterday was brought in by the Republicans to debunk global warming. The black line is his data. Ha ha whoops. And it shows the graph you've seen before, and then it shows another line, the Berkeley line. This guy was from Berkeley, that it actually mirrors almost exactly the hockey stick graph with the rising temperatures rising wildly as of 1980 and so forth, or actually the last 50 years, but certainly in the last 20. This graph is the result of physicist Richard Muller's project to get maximally accurate temperature data. Climate change deniers had assumed that his skepticism about existing temperature data meant that he was on their side. The Kochs were so convinced of this that they donated $150,000 to his lab. Which makes it all the more delightful that Mueller is now all, quote, thanks, suckers. Here's the same data everyone else had. Okay, here's how he really put it. We see a global warming trend that is very similar to that previously reported by the other groups. I believe that some of the most worrisome biases are less of a problem than I had previously thought. So the Republicans were hoisted on their own petard, these climate skeptics. And, of course, they're not all Republicans, mind you, just most of them when it comes to climate change deniers. Their own witness said, yeah, those temperatures, they look pretty much right to me. Mueller was one of the only scientists that the Republicans bothered to bring in. Among their five experts were an economist, a lawyer, and a professor of marketing. But hey, Jess Zimmerman writes, when there are so few scientists who are actually on your side, you have to go with what you got. And evidently, even that doesn't always work.
Wah, wah, wah.
877-520-1150. Republicans making jackasses of themselves in Congress is, of course, nothing new. No new news there. 877-520-1150. Anything you'd like to talk about, anything that's on your mind, open lines. It is April Fool's Day, after all. Would you like to punk me? Feel free. Give it a try. 877-520-1150. Julie in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, Julie.
Hi. I think your screener played an April Fool's joke on me, but that's okay.
Wait. My screener did?
Desi? Yeah. Well,
what does she do?
I tell you, I guess you know you're a boring call when you wait a long time. But
No.
Hey, Julie, you'll be up first. You're the first call.
Oh, really?
That's okay.
Then maybe she did. I don't think she did that on purpose, though. No, and it's not a boring. Well, we'll find out if it's a boring call.
Well, usually the boring people wait forever.
No. That's not true.
Okay.
Sometimes we just get so many calls that we just can't get to everybody.
Well, I can't sizzle mine up too much, but
I was going to say, I'm kind of bored right now by this call, Julie. So. No, go ahead. What's on your mind?
But anyway, while I was on cold, I'll just quickly jump to a comment, you know, you're making. I have a problem with engineers because, you know, up in the upper Midwest here, I can't tell you how many 500-year floods we've had in the last 10 years. You know,
yeah, right,
they build
I know.
The dikes that yeah. last for 500 years,
right.
you know. That's kind of worrisome.
Yeah. Well, you know, and then, of course, that was when they probably, if we give them the benefit of the doubt, they were probably working from older data. I mean, as we uh-huh. have seen over the last year, 5 years, 10 years, the weather seems to be, you know, getting insane. The temperatures year after year, each year is hotter than the previous one, mm-hmm. which is bringing record floods. You know, record ice melt at the poles. I mean, perhaps they really did think this would be a 500 year flood. Maybe 20 years ago it would have been, but now it's kind of like, you're right, an every other year flood.
See, I thought it might be a conspiracy, like you know, the engineers, they're not stupid. They know how much money there is, and so they're just telling the people that are providing the money, oh yeah, this will be 500 years, you know. But
it's a scam, you're saying, so that they can make money from you are a conspiracy theorist.
Oh yeah, it's terrible. But I just wanted to say something that since we're talking about, you know, what's on our mind, I'm kind of worried, I'm kind of concerned that we're not going to have a grassroots effort to really go after the corporations as far as seeing to it that, well, I don't know, maybe they pay 0.001% tax, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm concerned about it because I read a few years ago that 77% of Americans are in the stock market through various financial instruments, whether it's your 401k or
right.
you know, whatever.
Right.
And, you know, people might be thinking in the back of their mind, hey, I've got a little Exxon. I've got a little GE.
So they
what
don't
do want to. What do you think of that? I'll hang up and listen.
Oh, okay. Well, I appreciate that. I'm sorry. Drop. There we go. You know, there is something to that, I think, for a while. You know, so many people are invested in Wall Street, in the stock market, that they don't want to see these corporations go south. But I think things are getting so insane at this point. They are seeing how corporations are laying off people, and yet they're getting record profits. Their CEOs are making record amounts of salaries and bonuses. They're seeing the country have to bail them out when they get in trouble. If you look at what is going on starting in Wisconsin, and man, my God, you people out there in Madison, y'all are my heroes. Y'all are absolutely my heroes. What you have been doing up for the last, I don't know how many weeks, months at this point, you know, has inspired me. I formed an organization about 5 years ago now, 5 or 6 years ago, called VelvetRevolution.us. When it was in the darkest moments of the George W. Bush regime. I was going to say presidency, but I have a difficult time saying that. And it was to support community groups, folks like you folks up there in Madison, to stand up for yourself, to stand up for what you believe in, to stand up for what is right, to stand up for this Constitution, a real grassroots movement, not the phony Tea Party movements. You know, and you see how those are, you know, just falling away to nowhere. They have a rally in Washington, 200 people show up. The Tea Party doesn't exist. I mean, the Tea Party, such that it is, exists, is, you know, these corporations, the Koch brothers and those guys who have given money to a few people in a few states to prop up this notion that there is, you know, some popular uprising. The people of the Tea Party, the people who were fooled. Okay? You people were fooled. You were scammed. You were had by Glenn Beck, by Sean Hannity, by Fox News. A lot of good people in the Tea Party, and I mean this. I really do. A lot of good people went out there, were given a bunch of crap, were given a bunch of lies, were told that Obama was doing all sorts of things that he just was not doing. And mind you, I'm not crazy about a lot of stuff that Barack Obama is doing, much of the stuff. But he wasn't doing what they told you he was doing when they lied to you, when they got you angry, when they got you fired up, when they preyed on your best, you know, your best instincts, your best wills, to want to stand up and to fight for your country, to be a patriot. You were scammed. You were made the fools. And it wasn't just on April 1st. They were and they are trying to do it around the clock. 24/7. But I think a lot of you people are figuring it out now. You're watching what's going on in Wisconsin. You're watching your rights being taken away by the government, as Scott Walker is trying still to do up in Wisconsin, to take away your freedoms in state after state. I'll be talking, I hope, next week about, you know, what Rachel Maddow has been doing. She finally figured it out. What I've been talking about for so long, the fact that these are not conservatives. There's nothing conservative about the people on the right. They don't want smaller government. They want bigger government. They want intrusive government. They want to be in your lives. They want to tell you whether you have the right to choose, whether you have the right to organize. That is the scam. You people have been made the fools. And I hope you'll figure that out. And I'll hope you'll join the rest of us back here in the real world. I, for one, will be happy to have you. Because there's a real fight in this country going on. And it's going to take not just Democrats, not just progressives, but all you folks in the Tea Party who were scammed by these people. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy, 877-520-1150. More ahead.
And let you walk away. That's when they hung my name in the Fool's Hall of Fame.
I'm just a fool who really loves you.
Oh, there is. No one knows how big a fool you can be. Tony, great job tonight. Tony Sorrentino, the greatest engineer in the whole wide world. Great job with the music tonight on this very special episode of The Mike Malloy Show, our April Fool's Day edition with me, Brad Friedman, sitting in for Mike. I will, of course, be in all next week. Hope you will join me. My thanks also. We'll get to your couple of calls here as time allows, so hang on the line, 877-520-1150. My thanks tonight also to Joe Linehan, a.k.a. Rep Jack Kimball over on Twitter. If you missed our first hour, you're going to want to look it up at the Mike Malloy podcasts. If you're not a subscriber, go ahead and subscribe, or we'll have a lower quality version for you to listen to at bradblog.com late night tonight. You don't want to miss that first hour. Also, my thanks to Ian Murphy of Buffalo Beast running for Congress. Murphy can has Congress.com, and it is for real. He is for real, if not Rep Jack Kimball. Kimball2012.com. Just saying. Also, thanks to Desi Doyen producing and screening tonight. and For Earth in the chat room for keeping an eye on everybody at the bradblog.com chat room. My thanks, as always, to Mike and Kathy Malloy. If you're listening on MikeMalloy.com, by the way, stay tuned for Head On with Bob Kincaid. All right, very quickly, let's see if we can get to as many calls as possible here. Roger from Los Angeles or from Louisiana. I don't know. Hey, Roger, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Thanks, Brad. Yeah, it's L.A.
Is it L.A. or Louisiana? Desi
LA,
wrote that.
L.A.
L.A., all right. Hey, Roger, good to hear from you. What's on your mind, sir?
This is the problem. In the mainstream media and also the so-called pundits, I don't consider them pundits, before the election, they will say things like this, you know, there is no difference between Democrats and Republicans. It's the lesser of the two evils and things like that, except the progressive station where, like, you know, you, Brad, and others, we should say there is a distinction between the two parties. The evil is Republican, the good is Democrat. Because I've seen all the voters here, yeah, I have some friends too who are real dumb. They say the same thing. They're no different. They're saying only when they take it on the chin, like they're taking it on Wisconsin, states like that, then they realize there is a difference. But it's too late by then.
Well, you know what? No, it's not too late, Roger. But I know what you mean. And I'm not going to go to the bat for the Democrats here because they haven't given us a lot to go to bat for. The folks, however, in Madison, Wisconsin, the Democratic senators who filibustered by leaving the state, they have given people something to stand up and to cheer for. If more Democrats around the country stood up for the rights of working people, stood up for the Constitution, for the rights, for the freedom, for all the same things that the folks on the right were pretending to give a damn about. If the Democrats actually did that and stood up for those people, for working people, for their freedom, for their freedoms to organize and to make life as good as possible, then I'd be behind those Democrats.
Yeah,
but Roger, I got to go. Not because I don't enjoy the conversation, but I want to try to get in one more call if I can. Thanks for calling. Let me get to Steve in Austin, Texas, just to bring us around to where we started. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, Steve. What's on your mind, sir?
Great to hear you, Brad.
Thank you.
Your first hour segment with Representative Kimball raised really a serious question for the Republicans. If a child was born of two illegals, would that child in Maine need a green card to get a job? And if not, well, there's your anchor baby, huh?
I don't even think I can follow that math, but you know what? When these guys, when you believe in nothing, when you're making up this crap as you go along, when you're deciding what the Constitution says at any given moment, boy, you just get lost into crazy land, and that's where
Amazing.
These people are, and that's why it's so hard to even spoof them. Steve, I appreciate the call. Good luck down there in Texas, by the way. There was a caller who was in favor of repealing the child labor laws. He was from Texas. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But I don't blame you. Stay safe, brother.
You too.
All right. Have a safe, a great weekend, guys. Great being back with you here. We're back on Monday with Congressman Hank Johnson, a real congressman, Tim DeChristopher. Look him up. Great American hero. And much, much more. We'll see you next Monday. Until then, keep it lit. See you at bradblog.com.